Banks Peninsula horticulturist Cornelia Holton established the Korukai Herb Farm at Pigeon Bay with support from her husband Kai in 2013. They wanted to be self-sufficient in food and health products. She tells Cosmo Kentish Barnes why she likes living on the slopes of the out-of-the-way valley.
I just love the hills on both sides, and then I can see down to the ocean, and it's Pigeon Bay, but I can also see the gap where it's right up to the open ocean. It's magical, and whenever we have people coming up to the farm, they just say, wow, this is spectacular. It's just so peaceful. You know, no exit road. There's no traffic apart from when someone comes to us or to the neighbours. It's quiet, yeah.
The hill on the other side of the valley is quite steep, and there are lots of sheep dotted around, aren't there?
Yes, that's the neighbouring farms, sheep and beef farms. And I actually just see them mustering some sheep. They're going through the fence to the other side. You see that big patch of sheep there.
Yes.
It's like, you know, watching Country Calendar live. It's nice when you work and be in the garden and you just look up and you see the mustering sheep. You can see the dogs actually right behind them. Yeah, it's stunning.
It's like a creamy wave working its way across the hill.
Pretty fast in that steep bit. No, they're going down to the, just between the rocks.
How did you and Kai end up in Pigeon Bay?
We wanted to be self-sufficient. That was our main driver. We had an urban section in Christchurch, and we ran out of growing space. So we decided, when I was pregnant with our first child, Nicholas, to just, you know, do the leap and look for a bigger property. And I grew up on a dairy farm, and I love cows. And it was also that, you know, that component that I wanted to have a cow and milk and, yeah, make butter, cheese and yogurt. So, yeah, we ended up looking for properties around Little River and out of Christchurch. And, yeah, kept looking further and further for properties that don't have a massive fancy house that is very expensive, but just have something basic that we can base ourselves on and have a nice property. So we actually found this little piece of paradise. And so half of it is a native bush, which we love to go for walks to, and we've got lots of kānuka there. And the other half is paddock. And then a big slice we have for vegetable garden. The herb farm is taking up more and more space as we grow.
Mm. So where are you from originally?
I grew up in Germany on a 20-cow dairy farm, small scale, how it was just normal in the days. And when dairy farms got bigger and bigger, my parents actually stopped dairying because it was just not economic to stay this small. And yeah, it was just a little village in Bavaria. And I went to university in Germany before we came here, and I'm a primary teacher. Mm. And I also educated myself in Montessori education. And yeah, I've worked in Christchurch for a number of years before we moved out here.
And you've got two children that you homeschool.
Yes, so I can still do that part of my education. Now I've studied 5 years, also did a master's degree in education, and now I can still use it with my children.
What a great place to grow up for the kids.
Yeah, they absolutely love it. They love to be on the farm, they love lambing time and calving time, they love the cow, yeah.
Now we are standing in your herb garden right now, and this is the centre point of your business, really, isn't it?
Yes, the herb garden is our main business point. We wouldn't have a business without the garden. We make the compost, we plant the herbs, and we grow them right from seed to harvest and processing it. And then we package it up for our customers and send it with our local courier to your doorstep. So, yeah, it's really from the seed to the finish. We do everything on the farm.
How many herbs are you growing here?
I did a count up one day, and it was about 80 herbs that we are growing, and 40 herbs are the ones that we use commercially, that we grow big batches from and that we harvest on a yearly basis. And then some are harvested 3 times a year, and some are harvested just once a year, or actually every 2 years. But now, yeah, it's 40 herbs.
Now, even though we're heading into winter, The garden's still looking very green. It looks like you are still harvesting.
Yes, and there's stuff already growing that like the garlic is already coming up and that we've planted in April, May. And there's, you know, our food crops like the leek and the carrots, they're still green. And yeah, brassica for the winter food. Yeah, they're all there, all green. But other parts of the garden, they are dormant now. They have been finished cropping, been cutting down, they're brown. Mm. Or in that other area over there, there's the root harvest that we have completed. So the crowns are in the ground waiting to emerge next spring. Mm.
What sort of roots have you been digging up recently?
We have been digging up elecampane root, which is a great medicinal herb for the lungs. We've also done marshmallow root and licorice and horseradish root. So horseradish root we use lots in preparations also for eating as a food supply. And another one is echinacea root that we're having over there. It still hasn't been dug yet, but that's the next one that we're going to dig in the next couple of weeks. The aerial part has died down, so we know it's ready to dig.
Does that end up in one of your immune booster recipes?
Yes, the echinacea root goes into a health elixir for adults and goes into a number of throat sprays for sore throat. It's a great herb just at the onset of a disease when you just feel your throat is a bit scratchy and you kind of feel like you're coming up with a cold, then echinacea is the one to take. So that's why it goes into those immune support products for the early signs of a disease.
Over the COVID lockdown, there must have been a huge increase in demand for a product like that.
Yes, we had massive increase in demand. It was just when we had the first case of COVID-19 in New Zealand, our order spiked within just a few hours, and I actually didn't know what was going on, but the website was just blinking with new orders coming in for the health elixir, for the elderberry syrup, for throat sprays, and all of that. So then I had to go into the news and actually look what was happening. And yeah, that was the first case of COVID-19, unfortunately.
And the other thing that you were selling a lot of was your sourdough bread kits.
Yes, because we're self-sufficient, we like to share what we do on the farm. And the sourdough starter that we're selling online come with a full recipe book. And because in the lockdown, people were just wanting to bake their own bread. And with that, we could support them in this. And yeah, it was lovely for us to spend the lockdown period helping other people to on their own bread baking journey. And I hope, you know, the 200 people that got the sourdough starter within those 4 weeks, I hope they continue making their own bread.
So much fun making bread, isn't it?
Yeah, it's amazing. It's so delicious.
How did you learn about herbs and making natural medicines and things like that?
When we moved to the farm, my drive was to be self-sufficient. And one part is food and the other part is also medicine. And for me, I felt like I don't have the connection to the plant world because it just has been lost through the last couple of generations, I guess. Normally, it was just passed on to the children how to use the plants around you as your medicine. So I wanted to get education in that, especially to just help ourselves and help when the children are having a sore throat, just be able to going out in the garden and grabbing a herb and making a herbal tea. So I did an apprenticeship in herbal medicine at Phyto Farm in Little River. I went for a whole year, and on some days I actually took my son with me for the study part. And yeah, with that, I just soared and loved the process. And the last module was actually, you know, now come up with a product, come up with a business plan. And I was like, oh dear, didn't really plan on that. I was just, you know, wanting to be self-sufficient and grow my own medicine. But yeah, we actually came up with a product, which was the baby bottom balm, which was needed for our baby because he had, you know, sore bottoms. And yeah, it helped really well. And so we thought we just should give it a go, give it a crack and start planting herbs. And when we had the business plan, it took us another 6 to 9 months before we could have a harvestable crop. And yeah, because it's just from the base up. Didn't want to buy anything. I just wanted to grow it.
So you started with one product. And now how many products do you sell?
I actually don't know. I'd have to check, but it's over 50 products. Yeah. It turned out really well for us, and now we have a thriving business, and we can actually starting to support our family, and my husband is working less and less on his other job and being more and more working on the farm, which is awesome. Mm. Yeah, and for us it will be a family income. Yeah.
Now, as well as growing all these different herbs and making products out of them, you also run workshops here, and they're becoming very popular.
Yes, they are very popular. We started with courses around 3 years ago, or maybe 4 years ago, actually. And all the courses we've run over the last 2 years, they've always been full. And I like to learn a lot, and I will never stop learning. And I want to pass it on to others, pass on that you can be self-sufficient, that you can live a healthier life. And, yeah, food, that food is the basis for our health. And, yeah, that's what I want to teach other people and help them along on their journey.
And so people come here and do the courses on your farm here?
Yeah, right on the farm. Like the next one is on Sunday about medicinal herbs for winter well-being. And we will be just spending the first hour just in the garden. We'll be digging up some roots, especially horseradish, maybe some echinacea. We'll be foraging for some plantain and for yarrow. And then we go into the kitchen and then we make products with it.
What other courses do you run here?
The next one I run after that is organic gardening course with the Soil Food Web. I've done training with soil microbiologist Dr. Elaine Ingham. That was 2 years ago, and we are seeing massive results on the farm as we grow herbs, food, and, you know, grass crop for the cows and the sheep. And, yeah, it's a massive need in the country at the moment with the regenerative ag movement. Mm. And I want to be there helping them just to that they know more about the soil food web. We are nothing without soil health. I can grow as many herbs as I want, but if we don't look after the soil and base that as our fundamental baseline, having a healthy soil, that's where our health is anchored, and that's where I need to do education and help others to see that, because then we need less herbs and less herbal remedies if we're just healthy and our bodies work the best.
What are your favourite plants here that you grow?
You can't ask me that. They're all looking. You know, I'd have to pick the one that's right next to me. And it's actually really hard to say. I love the herb that I'm working with right at that moment. Yeah, that gives me joy. I really like calendula. It was one of the first ones that we grew, and it's an amazing herb that we can use internally and externally. And stinging nettle is also one of our favorite herbs, and we have, because stinging nettle for us gives a bridge between nutrition, food, and medicine.
What type of nettle are you talking about?
That's the European nettle. I'm not talking about onga onga. Onga onga, probably, you know, that's the native New Zealand nettle. Mm. A very ferocious sting. You have to be very careful. I don't harvest it at this stage. I've done a course in Rongoa Māori, and Donna Carriage said that the only way she would use it is as a detox after chemotherapy, for example. But I have not looked into that. Mm. But yeah, onga onga we have on the farm. But I'm talking about the annual and perennial nettle.
I'm keen to meet your cow.
Sure.
Should we walk down the hill and go and say hello?
Let's meet Lulu. Let's do that.
Your land is quite steep, and that's why you are going to do some terracing, aren't you?
Yes, like the terrace we just have behind us, we've done 3 years ago. So it was an unusable area with just rocks. We couldn't even do an orchard there. Mm. So we've terraced that, and this is, yeah, it's been a thriving garden now. And with this little testing area, we're now going bigger scale, and we're going to terrace a fourth of our paddock down in the bottom valley. And, yeah, we want to do 3 big terraces so that we can actually keep up with the demand for our medicinal herbs. We want to do a commercial tunnel house as well so that we can grow tulsi, turmeric, ginger, as well.
It's a real sunspot, this sloping paddock.
Yeah, so this is north-facing here. It's beautiful, especially on a day like today. It's just stunning.
In the paddock are, what, 5 or 6 ewes?
Yeah, 5 ewes and 1 ram. There's our 5 breeding ewes there. They're Wiltshire, so they shed their wools naturally. You see, they just have that nice thick coat now, not overly long. They don't grow too much length. Mm. And then they shed that at the, around September, October. And then they get, even shorter. And then all the wool is lying around in the paddock and the birds take it as nesting material. Yeah, very easy care sheep, so we don't have to tail them. Very clean, good browsers. And yeah, that's part of our self-sufficiency because we sell surplus ewe lambs and the boy lambs we keep for us for the freezer.
Mm. There's a cow in the paddock with them, and just across in another paddock, there's another older cow.
Yes, the older cow is our cow Lulu. That's the one we're milking at the moment. And the other one that's with the sheep, that's a heifer who's in calf now. And yeah, we're very excited. She's going to be having her calf in early September, and then we will start milking her.
You're going to have a lot of milk in spring.
Yes, we will. Oh, gosh. It'll be interesting. When Lululu usually calves, it's around 22 litres a day at the start, actually 24 at the very start, dropping down then to 20 litres. And then when we go back to like once a day milking, it's around 10 litres a day. And if it gets too much, and especially when we wean the calf and then it's just too much for us, then we get pigs, and those pigs take all the surplus that we can't use up. And they're also really good at using up all the whey from the cheese making to not have anything wasted. Mm. Yeah.
What sort of cheese do you make?
I like to make soft cheeses. I like mozzarella and feta. And yeah, we make cream cheese and also some halloumi as well.
Did your parents used to make cheese back on the farm in Bavaria?
No, they didn't. I learned everything here. But we did do butter, and which was just the best butter ever. We had a really old butter churn, the one with wood that you just turn the handle, and it took a whole day to make the butter. But it was so worth it. We didn't do it very often because it was very labour intense. Now I do it in my Kenwood mixer.
The joys of modern technology.
Exactly. The modern lifestyle, make it a bit faster. But it's still the same deliciousness.
The paddocks here are very lush and thick underfoot.
Yes, we've worked really hard on the pasture. We're not there yet, but we're getting there. We've got a nice mixture of clover, yarrow and plantain. The yarrow is this one. It's just, you can just see the small leaves. It's called Achillea millefolium, the plant of 1,000 leaves.
So there's a real smorgasbord of food here for the cows and sheep.
Yeah, it's a nice, good forage for them. And we've had some areas that haven't been growing really well. So I did a soil test. So in those areas where we didn't have that growth, we could find that we were lacking fungi. We could be finding that we're lacking those nutrient cyclists. So we've been applying compost extract to those areas, and we've seen massive improvement. The clover has just been going crazy over the last summer period. And because of that, our beehives did really well. And we've been having the bees for 4 years now. And it was the first summer that we could harvest 25 kilos of honey, mainly clover and carnauba. It is because we did the applications of compost extract on the paddock. This was grew so much clover and could just bring a bit more balance. We're not there yet. A lot more needs to be done.
We are walking up to Cornelia's special friend, who is lying down, munching away and enjoying that warm sun on her back. Hello, Lulu.
Why didn't you bring me any food, she's saying.
How many calves has Lulu had?
She's had 3 calves with us, and I think all up she's had 6 calves so far. She's ready to go to a bull. We've had her for the last 5 years, and yeah, she's very loyal and very, very good cow.
What are your plans for the future, your long-term plans?
The plan is for us to do like lots of education, educating other people, for us to learn more, to grow the herb farm, and yeah, just continue as we are doing it.
Cornelia Holton on Banks Peninsula.